My brothers and sisters in the Lord, there's a little story, and many of you may have heard it already at one point in your life, but there was an old farmer, and he had three sons, Don, Ron, and little John. And this old farmer and his three sons, they were all members, they were all registered parishioners at the local church, but they hadn't been to Mass in years. They hadn't been to confession. They didn't pray. They really had no time for God. And then one day, Don, the middle son, was bitten by a rattlesnake. And it was a very serious bite. And they called for the local doctor. And the doctor came in and administered the medicine and did what he could, but he said it was going to be a very close call. So the farmer decided to call for the priest. And so Father came in, and there Don was laying in bed, and Father said, "Let us say a prayer." And so he gathered the other two sons with the old man, and Father began to pray. And his prayer went something like this. He said, "Good and gracious God, we thank you for the many gifts and the ways in which you give them to us. We thank you for the gift of this rattlesnake that bit Don. May it be a means of his conversion, to bring him back to the church, to remind him that all healing and goodness comes from you alone." That's it. Amen. And then Father continued, "And Heavenly Father, we pray that you send another rattlesnake to bite Don and little John so that they too may experience a conversion. And Father, send a great big old rattlesnake to bite that old man farmer that his heart may come to you. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen." Now, certainly, my brothers and sisters, it is a little story, and we don't know if Don recovered or not. But if he did, he had the opportunity for a second chance, an opportunity to make things right. And the question that we ask today is, we believe in a God of second chances. And if that's true, are we grateful for that? That's the little parable, the little story that Jesus is telling at the end of today's gospel. A God of second chances. He says there was a landowner. He had this great big vineyard, this great big farm. And then there was this fig tree. And that tree was just not producing any fruit. It was not giving any figs. And so the landowner says to the gardener, "Cut it down. Why waste our time? Why exhaust the soil?" But notice what the gardener says, the one who has been tending the fig tree. The one who knows the fig tree most intimately is not the landowner, it's the gardener who is there in the dirt. And he says to the landowner, "Give me one more year. Give that fig tree one more year. I will cultivate and fertilize the land around it. Maybe then it will bear fruit. If not, then you can cut it down." My brothers and sisters, in the parable, Jesus is the gardener. He is the God of second chances. And are we grateful? And do we recognize that we need a second chance, or a third chance, or a fourth chance, or wherever we may be in our lives? Because you see, my brothers and sisters, in order to be grateful that we have a God of second chances, there's something that's very important. And that is this. We can only be grateful if first and foremost we know that we've done something wrong. We can only be grateful if we know that we're sinners. And I know, my brothers and sisters, we live in a society and a culture that does not want to talk about evil or wrong or sin. We want to whitewash all that out. But unless we can recognize that we're great sinners, then and only then can we be grateful that God's mercy is even greater. And that he allows a second chance. That he's going to cultivate the soil of our own hearts. As we come to this altar to receive in body, blood, soul, and divinity. As we go to the confessional to be washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. Though your sins be as red as scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Do we believe that? Do we receive it? And are we thankful for it? Because you see, my friends, when we lose a notion of sin, we also lose a notion of judgment. And yes, there will be a judgment. If you don't believe me, open your Bible and read the Gospels. Remember, there's the sheep and the goats. I hope you know what you want to need and want to be. The sheep that go into eternal paradise, the goats into eternal damnation. I remember a true story. Not long after I was ordained, I was having a conversation with a deacon. Not a deacon who was assigned to any of the parishes, just someone that I knew. And as we were talking, the deacon, who was a permanent deacon, he was complaining about his pastor. Now, I know deacons never complain about their pastors, right, Deacon G? But let's just say sometimes it happens. And so he was saying that he was complaining because the pastor was getting on him about his preaching. And the pastor told him that he had to preach this coming weekend, and he had to preach on the gospel, not just on something else. I'm thinking to myself, whoa. Okay, well, that's what you're kind of supposed to be doing, but I'm just kind of going along with this conversation. And he says, I can't do that because all the readings this weekend and the gospel are on judgment. And I don't want to preach about judgment. And so we continue this conversation. We're having a cup of coffee. And as the conversation goes on, he begins to tell me about some other issues that he's having in his life. Particularly with his older son, who probably was in like his mid to late 20s, still living at home, on drugs, maybe even selling drugs. And he told me that the night before, he and his wife were having dinner. They didn't know where their son was, hadn't seen him for 4 days. He comes in the back door. They invite him to sit at the table, and the deacon said he almost like spits on us. He just walks away and grunts and goes to his room. And the deacon said, that was enough. He said, you know, I got up, and he said, I'm physically afraid of my son. He's a big guy. But he said, I got up and I marched to his room and I flew open that door and I said to him, I love you so much, I'm not going to put up with this foolishness anymore. And I looked at the deacon and I said to him, you just preached a sermon on judgment. My brothers and sisters, God loves us so much, he's not going to put up with our foolishness. And he doesn't want to put up with our foolishness. That's the great mercy of God. And that's why we rejoice. We're in this wonderful year of mercy that our Holy Father has given us. But there's one thing that you've got to remember, and Pope Francis says this over and over again. In order to truly appreciate God's mercy, that God is a God of second chances, we have to remember that we're great sinners. After Francis was elected Pope, Someone who was interviewing him asked him, "Who is this new Pope Francis? How would you describe yourself?" And this is what the Pope said, and I quote, "I am a sinner. This is the most accurate definition. It is not a figure of speech, a literary genre. I am a sinner. The best summary, the one that comes from the inside and I feel most true, is this: I am a sinner whom the Lord looked upon with love." My brothers and sisters, that's why we're so thankful that our God is a God of second chances. Because we're all great sinners. But God's mercy is even greater. A few weeks ago, I got one of these little pamphlets in the mail. The title was, "Are You Eligible for Heaven?" I don't know what church sent it out. But it says, "Are you eligible for heaven?" So I just sat at my desk and I'm going to take this little test. It was in a little booklet. So I took the little test. I added up the score. You know what I got? The jury's still out. And I laughed at myself, but that's true for all of us. The jury's still out. What does St. Paul say? Fight the good fight. Finish the race. Keep the faith each and every day. Our God is a God of second chances. It only means something if we have a notion of what sin is. And it all comes together, my friends, at the cross. Because it's on Calvary that Jesus died for you and for me to reconcile us with God so we could be washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. I came across this little writing from a particular author. This is what she writes. "I wish there were some wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all of our past mistakes and heartaches and all of our poor selfish grief could be dropped off like a shabby old coat at the door and never be put on again." Well, my brothers and sisters, the place exists. The land of beginning again. We call it the foot of the cross. We call it Calvary. The land of beginning again as we come to this altar. The land of beginning again as we go to the confessional. The land of beginning again when we recognize that even though we are sinners, God in His great mercy calls us back home each and every day. When our Holy Father, Pope Francis, was elected Pope, and when he was asked, will he accept it? In the Sistine Chapel, this was what he said to the cardinals. "I am a sinner, but I trust in the infinite mercy and patience of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in a spirit of penance, I accept." My brothers and sisters, do we thank God each and every day that He always allows us another chance? And do we come to Him with a repentant heart so that we too may be washed clean in the blood of the Lamb? As we hear in the book of the prophet Joel on Ash Wednesday, "Rend your hearts and not your garments and return to the Lord." May this Lenten season, my friends, these 40 days and 40 nights, be a time of true conversion, true repentance, and true returning to the Lord Jesus. Because as that little survey said to me, the jury is still out. May God grant us the grace to remain faithful each and every day.